Listening Library presents Getting Near to Baby by Audrey Columbus. Chapter 1. Early Morning. Aunt Patty is fed up with me. She told me so last night. When I got into bed, there was a sick feeling in my stomach that stayed with me through my sleep. I came out here to breathe deep of the fresh air, but that sick feeling has not yet gone away. And then Mrs. Garber ran by. Who would think somebody 50 years old would be up and running down the road before daybreak? She ran by, and then she ran back and stared at me from the road, her knees all the time pumping up and down. I didn't say a word to her. She came up to the house and rang the doorbell. I heard the doorbell, and I heard her sneakers on the flagstone patio. Pum, pum, pum. My stomach started to hurt. No answer. After a couple of minutes, she rings the doorbell again. A light comes on. I see a pale yellow square in the grass, like a shadow in reverse. Pum, pum, pum. The front door opens. Aunt Patty's voice breaks the silence of early morning. Mrs. Garber, is there something wrong? There are whispers. A squawk from Aunt Patty, and more whispers. I wrap my arms more tightly around my knees. Pretty soon, Mrs. Garber is on her way down the road again. She does not look back once. The front door closes. My heart feels like there is a string tied around it, with something heavy hanging from the string. I don't like it. But the sky has broken pink and is stretching pale lavender fingers toward heaven. So I make up my mind to watch those sky fingers fade to nothing, to be burned away by the sunrise. And here it comes, a thin rim of orange red, so deep and strong, my heart almost breaks with the fierceness of that color. Moment by moment, there is more of it to see, so hot and bright, I cannot look but at the edges. Even when I look away, look clear away to the waning edge of darkness, I can see that color in my mind's eye, feel it beating in my very blood. I breathe color. All at once the neighborhood is waking up. A phone rings not too far away. It may even be Aunt Patty's phone. Two pickup trucks come out from the piney woods, turn off in the direction that Mrs. Garber ran. A dog barks. Next door, Mrs. Biddle puts her cat out. Squeaky spring of her back door. Slam. I hear an alarm clock go off. An old-timey miner's clock that goes brang. Below, the front door opens again.
Willa Jodine, what do you think you're doing up there?
I think, watching the sunrise. I came up on the roof to watch the sunrise, and I just stayed, I could say.
I know little sister is up there with you,
Aunt Patty says, as if I was keeping it a secret. Little sister is here because she follows me everywhere. Everyone knows that.
Willa Jo, don't you act like you can just ignore me now.
No one can ignore Aunt Patty. That's part of the trouble. She has that kind of voice. There isn't any hope of ignoring her. I take off my leather sandals and place them so the heels are caught on a ridge, and they won't slide down. Little sister is already barefoot. I inch across the roof that feels like it has been sprinkled with coarse salt, liking the way the scratchy surface clutches at the fabric of my shorts, clings to my skin. I don't like getting this close to the edge, all the time knowing what I'll see. And then I do. I look down on my Aunt Patty, who is looking up, her hair in pin curls. She's short and wide and wearing a brown terry bathrobe that is the sorriest thing. From 2.5 stories up, she looks like a face on a stump. At her first glimpse of me, Aunt Patty shifts from annoyance to outright panic. Her arms lift and wave like stubby branches in the wind.
Stop right there, she screams.
I do. I only meant to get where I could see her anyway. I wouldn't have to get this near to the edge, but for the fact that she won't step off the patio in her slippers. She's afraid of getting a slug stuck on her if she steps onto the wet grass. She's right. That probably would happen.
There are an awful lot of slugs on Aunt Patty's lawn. But so far as I know, nobody has yet died of getting a slug stuck on them. And then she makes like she's in charge of roof sitting today. Don't you come any closer. You're likely to fall right off onto the patio and crack your head wide open. Little sister has been inching her way down right alongside me, and then a little bit in front of me. And now she leans forward to get a good view of Aunt Patty screeching up at us. Aunt Patty rewards her with another shrill cry. I have a handful of little sister's nightgown, just in case. But she isn't going anywhere. We've run down hillsides steeper than this. It does give me a funny feeling in the pit of my stomach, though, being so close to the edge. Like this roof might roll over like a big dog and heave us into the air like fleas. Little sister, Aunt Patty calls. Her tone has changed to sweet and wheedling. Little sister, you'll listen to reason now, won't you? It's no use her appealing to little sister, who only listens to me anyway. Another reason little sister don't talk. She used to, but not now. Chapter 2. Birds of a Feather. Little sister hasn't said word one since baby died. At first, I tried to make her want to talk, but nearly everything I asked of her could be answered with a shake of her head or a shrug. Then I did things, like tell her I planned to make sugar cookies with refrigerator dough, and I would pretend to forget. But little sister didn't want sugar cookies bad enough, I guess. So I said I needed help counting how many zucchini to pick for our dinner, or counting out how many eggs the chickens laid in one day. Little sister would stare at me, like life was too serious for me to try to trick her into doing something she didn't want to. I kept at her, though, for days on end. Finally, little sister made up that one finger meant no, two fingers meant yes, and a wagging of her flat hand meant maybe. She would hold up both hands, flashing her fingers for every 10 of something, so she could count up to 100 if she had to. When she was emphatic, she would flash 10 fingers, telling me no, or 10 fingers twice, 20 fingers, for yes. Little sister hasn't done much of that since getting to Aunt Patty's. It makes Aunt Patty nervous. She's not mean about it, she just takes little sister's hands in hers and holds them and keeps talking like she never noticed a thing. Or if somebody is around, she talks louder. She pulls little sister's hands close and pushes them down, hoping nobody'll notice. What are the girls doing up there? This is Mrs. Biddle, the neighbor. As sweet an old lady as you could ever hope to meet. Bakes good cookies, the homemade kind. And she's real free with them, too. You can see for yourself they've climbed out onto the roof, Aunt Patty says. She shouldn't speak to old Mrs. Biddle that way. It could hurt her feelings. But that's Aunt Patty for you. If anybody ever told her she ought to have some respect for her elders, she'd put it right out of her mind. Little sister scoots back far enough that Aunt Patty can't see her anymore. Then she waves to Mrs. Biddle. She is the sweetest child, Mrs. Biddle sighs. She's just taken with little sister. She is the spawn of the devil, Aunt Patty says clearly. And even though only little sister and I were meant to hear, Mrs. Biddle hears her too. Little sister's face is hidden from me by the way the curtain of her hair falls over one shoulder. She means me, not you. I whisper to her, just in case. As sweet as if she were offering a second helping, Mrs. Biddle says, "You don't mean that, Patty." She makes it seem that Aunt Patty isn't meant to feel bad for saying such a terrible thing. She's only been given a second chance to mend her ways. Mrs. Biddle makes me smile. But not Aunt Patty. She's still glaring up at me hard enough to make me want to pull back up to where she can't see me. Or maybe her face is frozen that way. Patty, now you don't mean that, Mrs. Biddle says, trying again. Mrs. Biddle probably has no idea how wild Aunt Patty can get when things don't go her way. And worse, when she gets the idea she's being criticized for it. I do, Aunt Patty says. I really do. I've only had them for 3 weeks, and they are driving me out of my only mind. This takes me by surprise. I thought I was the only one counting the days. Well, me and little sister.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?